This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. I'm excited because we have someone else with us today.
What?
I know, maybe you haven't noticed, but if you're watching, there's now another... very handsome man here with us.
Sorry. I like when you said another. Uh-huh. That's good. That was an offhanded compliment. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Whoops. I didn't mean to encourage you. I'm back.
You're back.
I was here a while ago. I'm back again. Mm-hmm. It's good to be back.
It is. And
Mr.
who are
Ben
you?
Mr. Ben Serple.
Yeah. Yes.
The handsome guy is her husband.
That's it.
If you're listening and not watching, I'm her husband.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Which... could only mean one thing. If you're on here with me,
yes.
We're probably talking about something that we do together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, should I leave?
paddleboarding. No.
Paddleboarding.
That's it. We are going to be talking about family culture for a while. So best person to invite in is the person that I'm doing this with. Mm-hmm. So Ben and I have, you know, Dad, you really inspired a lot of the... kind of defining this and creating of it and intentionality. I think you guys started something a long time ago. Okay. And it's just kind of grown in our family, and the fruit of it is pretty unreal as far as just kind of how things have changed and been protected and fought for as a whole family instead of just us parents.
Mm-hmm. I remember when Ben was going through his bachelor's program, mm-hmm. I think it was, mm-hmm. and you had to do some kind of a project or write a paper or something. I forget exactly what it was.
Yep.
But we built something called Arrows.
Yep. Like Arrows Family
Services coaching. Or something.
Something, yeah.
And it was from the scripture about, you know,
yep.
the children are like arrows in the quiver. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full.
Amen.
And we got all the way, you know, into the design of it, and we realized, you know, really what we're helping families do is create a culture. And then the culture creed and all that stuff came out of that, and boom, it's years later, and here we are.
Yeah.
And I think really what happened is, you know, my bachelor's program and things I was going through were inspiring this, like, I want to help people in a meaningful way. So we started talking. And through those conversations, we came back to the house and went, okay, we should practice first.
Mm. Yeah.
There's deeper places we can go,
mm-hmm.
and we can start applying the stuff that we want to give away. Let's actually do a good job here.
The light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home, yes.
Danny's a quote machine today. He'll just be quoting old hymns.
That's funny. Yeah,
that's good.
That's definitely what happened. It feels like I would say we were a pretty connected family before we did this. You know, you and I had worked out our marriage stuff, but I don't know that we knew how to define culture in our family. So that what is family culture was a pretty new thought, other than, you know, your families are savers, my families are spenders, your families are this, you're my family. Like, I mean, that natural... I think in the defining the relationship course is like, what are your normals? Or
mm-hmm.
that's what I assumed culture was. And it's part of it, but that's kind of where it stopped for me.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't, I think that was pretty clear on the.
And you guys had difference. Pretty wet cement when you started talking about this too. You had little kids.
We did.
So they were all still learning your culture.
Yeah. Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think defining what culture is it's been a fun process to give away to other people as well. We just came back from our kids' school retreat, and we had we've done this with another family, quite a few families, and one of them came up to me and just said, I feel like we just clarified who we are working with you guys. Mm-hmm. And that for me is what I feel like defining the culture is what we're trying to do is help people clarify who you are and, you know, find your places of agreement, your partnership. And that's the other thing they were talking about is that I feel like all of us get to partner together in a way that we've never partnered with. You know, it was always kind of the parents just riding the kids, but it's changed. So that was fun to hear, which is why, one, we did this. It helped our family tremendously. And then being able to turn around, give it away. Yeah. So
it is an empowering move to help people have a target. You know, I think that when you're ambiguously fumbling through life, not really sure why you're irritated with each other or not really sure what the ongoing disconnect loop is, it's usually, you know, I'm trying to get us to go to my normal, and you're trying to get us to go to your normal without ever talking about it. Yeah. And then we get upset when you don't.
Yeah.
Instead of like, hey, let's sit down and let's pick the best. Mm-hmm. Yep. And we'll both shoot at it.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think that really changes the grid for folks, and they feel much more powerful because now I know what we're both shooting for, and I don't feel controlled or manipulated, and I feel punished less than I used to. Yeah,
and I think it's I saw something the other day. Someone said, "Choose your hard." You know, I mean, there was a whole list of things. One was like, "Do you want to lose weight or be healthy?" They're both hard. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a hard. And my point there is, I think building a culture isn't easy. Because it does, and this is really your input, Danny, over years of describing this, but it does take time, and it does take a level of intentionality that doesn't just take place. Like I have to stop and be willing to look at the hard stuff and then do the hard work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's often where people get stuck is either I don't know where to start or I'm scared of what I'm gonna find. Mm. So let's just keep pretending like we're okay. Mm.
And you're going to end up with a culture.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's not like you have the option of not having one. Yeah, we just decided not to have a culture. Actually, that is one.
You know, like, from the beginning, you pretty much are birthed into a culture, whether you like it or not.
Exactly.
But, I mean, I say that, you know, you're going to have a culture. It happens one of two ways, on purpose or on accident. And I think on accident is majority of the people. Mm-hmm. And the other part of, you know, what you were saying before is we have our two normals and we fight against each other of who's going to dominate and who's going to win, but we don't make a common place to say that's what we want. Mm-hmm. And so we live in tension rather than really this place of peace and strength together.
Or synergy or, you know, companionship or partnership or like team. I think what happens is when you identify a target in the distance called your family culture, you become a team.
Yeah.
Like everybody's pulling in the same direction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's easy to point to, and when someone's not pulling their weight, I think that's a lot of time when parents are like, this kid is so lazy. I'm like, well, what's the agreed upon culture? Because they're probably getting away with this because it's part of your culture. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do about it? Which is always our empowering language that we're asking. What are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do about it?
But this thing of culture, it really is happening and is on display from the moment, you know, you get married, you start a family, you introduce kids. I always love doing the Defining the Relationship course, and you get to the parenting segment. They don't have children.
Yes.
It's just a theory.
Yes. Well, our children will never be dirty. I always love that one.
It's so great.
My child will never have a dirty face.
They'll never have boogers in their nose. Okay. Well, best of luck to you on that. But it's definitely when you introduce kids, you know, even when you get married, we had a funny situation I think happen. We were going to the school retreat. We picked up our rental car, and this woman is talking, and I don't know how Ben said, how are you doing? She's like, oh, you know, I'm all right. And he's like, oh, why are you just all right? She's like, I've been married 3 months. So we start kind of giggling over, oh, yeah, well, you know, she's like, how long have you guys been married or something? I don't know. Ben ends up telling her we've been married nearly 19 years.
And we're not best friends, her and I.
Yeah, that's pretty normal. The kids are just sitting there like, Dad. But we're laughing because we're having this exchange and she's exposing that their normals have clashed and I don't really know what to do with that. Mm. And it just was funny to think about, like, wow, this is, you brought two cultures and you don't know how to make a partnership out of them. And you've got to figure out, how do we lead each other? How do we partner with each other? How do we feel like we are defining a culture that we both want to participate in? Because I'm sure they both brought two different normals, mm-hmm. and they don't love everything about their normals, but they don't know how to turn it into a place where we find unity and companionship.
And I think it does become a challenge when something's really important to me, mm-hmm. but it's not that important to you.
Yep.
Yeah.
So how do we say this is really important to us?
Yeah.
And it comes from, well, you're really important to me, mm-hmm. and what's really important to you, I will make really important to me.
Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think through stories right now. There's just so many moments where we've had that happen where that isn't really important to me, or that isn't my emphasis today, or this month, or this year. But you're really important to me, just the way you described it. So I'm actually willing to let you lead in this area. You know, I didn't have to be the one, especially as the man. You know, in the church, the man should be leading all the time and should be the one in charge or something. You know, that we get these ideas, but I think there's certain things that Brittany's gonna lead our family in and take us to a place that I probably couldn't. Because that's not my emphasis or my main passion or the thing
or
that's
even
standing
you're
out
naturally
to me.
Gifted in.
And gifts too. Gifts and talents and all that stuff.
Attention to, yeah.
So, I mean, there's just so many moments like that where if I wasn't willing to stay humble and have this partnership experience, mm-hmm. I think there's places that I know I wouldn't be today and that we as a family wouldn't be, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think my parents would want to live with us. It probably wouldn't be very fun to be around. Mm.
Well, we'd have a couple of things to say about it.
No doubt.
Some truthing taking place.
Yeah. The other thing that happens is, you know, culture starts to police itself when it's an agreed upon space and it's protected, and then someone else comes into it and starts to violate it. The other people around it that want to participate and protect it start, you know, sending off flares and warning shots. And then they engage of, hey, we don't talk to each other that way, or we don't, you know, interact with. We were, again, hanging out with all of our kids. We had lots of kid time, and it was great. But there was a moment where Adeline ended up in charge of some younger kids, and they were not mm-hmm. very fun. Mm. And so I was just laughing because she's talking to me about, you know, they're familiar with things. And so she says, I'm feeling hassled. And I was so proud of her for... And if you know Adeline, you would not be surprised that she's the one pulling out the I'm feeling hassled.
The line.
Yeah, totally. But it was just, you know, and this kid responded because they're familiar with the terms, but this is the policing itself. Like, well, this is, I've been given the duty of being in charge of everyone in the hallway at 10 o'clock at night, you know, and you're being too wild or too loud or whatever it is. She was doing it to her brother as well.
And culture isn't culture until it shows up in the children.
Yeah.
So now, you know, you watch Adeline basically pull out the toolkit and start, you know, using it on the children around her, like, you know, mission accomplished. And culture is this, it's really our group, our family, our country, our community. Sure. Protecting what's important to it. Mm-hmm. And each community is different. Each family is different. Everyone has something that's most important to them. For some people, it's you know, education. Like, you're going to be a PhD like everybody else in this family. Mm-hmm. And some people, it's kindness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care how upset you are. You don't get to be unkind. Mm-hmm. And for other people, it's a bazillion dollars. Like, you're going to make a bazillion dollars the rest of us did. Everybody has a culture that ends up aiming at protecting what we say is so important to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we just had this conversation with our kids because we were talking about the culture that they've been given and are growing up in. It's rich in connection and relational investment and communication. So no matter where they go, that's probably going to show up. Mm-hmm. And if there's other things in their hearts to develop, to steward that they're interested in that they're not getting from us, help us give you opportunities for those.
Right. And this will be a big part going forward in dating and stuff like that is go find someone that values connection. Yep. Okay. Don't hook up with somebody who values something totally different and maybe whatever. You would lead in the connection thing, whatever that is. You know, like, no. This is going to be a big deal if you're going to carry on a legacy of your family culture. Mm-hmm. You know, you really are sorting in who's going to protect this with me, or because I'm going to fight against it being violated.
Yeah.
And you're going to fight against me fighting against it.
Right.
So these are some setups for your family going forward in life is they will sort in people that want to participate in the culture they want to live in. Instead of, I ended up married and discovered in marriage that you don't want my culture.
Mm-hmm.
Woof.
Right. And that's the beautiful illustration of find someone that's on the same plane as you and you're defining the relationship.
Go in the same place.
I just love that. I always think it's such a great analogy of, don't get on the wrong plane hoping that they were going to somehow.
Switch your ticket at the airport. Come on.
Don't do
Meet
it.
Them on the plane. Meet
don't
them on the
do
plane.
It.
Yeah.
It is a crucial element to remember.
Mm-hmm. And the thing I keep thinking about as we're talking is, we've talked many times over the years about, like, for instance, a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when your child goes into a certain classroom, there's a culture there. Mm-hmm. When they step out of that classroom into a new one, especially in high school, you know, they're in like six different.
Yeah. Math, English.
Yeah. All these different subjects all day. And each classroom has a culture.
Mm-hmm.
I think the same way when your child goes to children's church or whatever they're doing in their church community, they show up and they might be like operating in this great gifting and all these things are happening, but they come home and they're going to fit back into your culture. And so I think it's confusing sometimes for us. Like you do that over there, but you don't do it over here, or you act a certain way here, but not with us. And it's just the culture that's being built there, the expectations, the set of agreements that have taken place, which for me is just a challenge and encouragement. Like, If I'm not currently building what I want when I live with my children, what am I going to do about it?
Yeah.
And I think especially as the parents, you know, this is where it begins.
Yeah.
In that marriage.
And you're bringing up something that is, you know, alive and killing a lot of families today, and that is where there's a shared custody situation between parents, and this child goes from one culture to the next twice a week.
Yeah.
And one parent is saying, they are undoing my culture.
Yeah.
My kids go over there and they get to do, you know, Disneyland every week, and then they come back to jail.
Yeah.
You know, and this is, and you're like, yeah, well, that is one of the reasons why you don't live together, is you can't blend your cultures. You refused to build a culture together.
Right.
Totally.
That's why you had two cultures in your home making you guys crazy. Now they're apart.
Yeah.
And this is reality.
Mm-hmm.
But kids are super resilient,
and
they also will adjust.
Yeah.
Just like moving from classroom to classroom and teacher to teacher.
That's great.
They'll move home culture to home culture. They go to spend the night at a friend's house, or they go be with their grandparents for a week or whatever, they will adjust according to the leadership of the culture.
Yep.
Right.
If they brought the culture of chaos to any environment, and that leader that they found in the environment doesn't police it, you know, doesn't say, no, we're protecting this, then the kids' chaos will rule in any environment they go in.
Yeah.
So it is a challenge. It's quote unquote not fair. Nonetheless, if you're going to create a home you want to live in, you're going to have to lead it.
It's true.
And that's what I feel like we're always trying to help clarify to parents is that you've got to model what it is that you're wanting to see created in your home. Yeah. You know, I always love the story when you know someone's complaining about their kids not being grateful or not saying thank you and please, and then I get to ask, well, how well do you do this? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a big reflection. How disrespectful are you to your kids if they're being disrespectful to you? How much are you leading in? You know, if you want the house clean, well, how much do you pick up after yourself? Yeah. You know, if you value sitting down at the dinner table, how much space do you give for that? So there's a million little things that if you're unhappy with it in your home culture, I would take a moment to reflect, man, what am I modeling for them? Mm-hmm. Because they're going to follow whatever they see me doing. Mm-hmm. But if I'm not leading in this, then they're going to be leading in the thing that I'm not doing well.
Well, that modeling is leading.
Yes, it is. I'm thinking, you know, I always love when parents are like, they don't do their chores, they don't do any of these things. I'm like, what is that? What I'm wondering what it looks like in your partnership. It's like, you know, we're doing this together. Like, there's something that children love when they see the willingness to partner together. We're going to do hard things together. I'm going to cheer you on. We're going to partner. I'm going to do this for you. Here, now it's your turn.
Yeah, and we're going to have a whole deal on marriage culture here coming up, right?
We are. Yeah. We got to sit still. We'll get into it, but it is modeling.
I mean, Allie wrote this thing that I did not catch before. Did you catch that?
I never saw that till I read this.
Yeah. She wrote down that culture is associated with, affiliated with the word cult. Mm-hmm. Like culture, cult. Yep, cult. You know, it's right there. Sit right there, which is worship.
A little offending at first.
Yeah, like
we're part of a cult.
Cult. The cult of honor. But in there, cult means to worship. Yeah. And
that's right.
So your culture really points to what it is that you worship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which kind of telling, kind of like, whoa. Yeah. Whoa.
Very revealing.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. And you know, and then she points out there's two places where worship goes. Worship goes to God and mm-hmm. worship goes to man.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what's important to me or what's important to God? Mm-hmm. And I will establish a kingdom of God in my home or a kingdom of me in my home.
Yeah.
Like, oof. Yep.
And there's the modeling. We're back to it.
That's it right there.
Do you model the worship of man or of God in your home?
And this is a really important one to us. Yeah. And it's a big deal to us. Mm-hmm. I think if we're honest, we haven't always done a great job leading our family in this. And I'll talk about myself for a minute.
Great.
Good. Let me talk about wisdom. That was wisdom right there, Ben.
Let me rearrange my words for a second here. The marriage one's coming later. But
Maybe it's coming later.
It's going to be a counseling session with Danny.
Oh, don't drag me into this.
Yeah, just the opportunity, I think, to... Do I really believe this? Is this really a priority? Because if it is, it's going to show up in my behavior, in my belief mm-hmm. system, in my words, and what I'm modeling for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to start seeing it, just like you said. You know a culture is starting to stick when the children are doing the same thing,
mm-hmm.
are playing it out.
Yeah, we went to our school retreat, which I'll reference a million times because it was so fun.
It was so impactful for everybody.
What school is that?
It's called Valor Global Online.
Oh, cool.
And it's just been a godsend. If you follow my socials, I talk about it there. But all the kids were impacted. One of the things they asked us to do was to leave there and do 40 days of prayer. And so we started that. And, you know, we're trying to figure out, I don't know how well I'm going to get Lincoln on his knees praying realistically. He's 10 and we're trying to do it in the morning because I feel like they're less distracted in the morning. They're more tired, less distracted. But we're reading this book that they suggested. It's called Draw the Circle or something like that. Yeah. I can't remember the man's name. I feel bad now, but it's I'm only 2 days into it. It's great though. And one of the things he says is when we pray regularly, this is a tongue twister. When we pray regularly to God, irregular things happen regularly.
Yep.
And
how much would
totally is. I love the quote. It is great, but I feel like I have to slow down to say it correctly.
It's corn.
And so now you're being trendy. But in this moment of talking about this, we started telling the kids how we had one day where random, just we're walking and talking with people, and we had done a few things at the school. And so people are just showing their gratitude by offering to pay for things. So whether mm-hmm. it's our meal or whatever. And so one day, everything that we tried to pay for was taken care of.
Yep.
And it was weird. It wasn't normal. And so
it followed the next day too.
It did. It followed until coming back home.
Going.
So we got to talk about that to the kids and just kind of put insert truth to this statement and insert our culture yet again, this thing that we care deeply about. And so it's just fun when you're prioritizing things like that. And
which for me brings up the point, which I'm really good at.
talking about you again.
I'm not sure okay, what's here we go. Happening.
Making fun of myself for a second here. But I think the consistency thing that really is required, especially in a 40-day thing. Mm-hmm. 40 days is can feel like a long time when you start. But the consistency.
Thankfully, we're still eating and drinking things, so it probably won't feel so bad.
It's not a 40-day fast, 40 days of prayer.
That's true.
Prayer and worship. But it really drives home this is a priority. Because we're willing to get up at 7:14 because it's connected to the
Second Chronicles
7:14, if my people verse. Mm-hmm. So, but it's just the consistency. It does something to me personally, and I think us as the leaders of this culture. Mm-hmm. But it's communicating something to our children that I'm just so excited about.
Mm-hmm.
It's super fun.
Which plays out, I think, in every element of our culture is when we can stay consistent that this is what you experience around every turn. With this situation, you experience this, mm-hmm. and it's consistent.
Yeah,
it starts to stick.
Yeah, it's good.
The two verses in here, one out of the Message Bible, and one out of the Passion Translation, is the Romans 12:2, which is, "Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, mm-hmm. but be transformed through the renewing of your mind." This one says, Message Bible says, "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking."
Yeah. Yikes.
You know, like, oh.
Heart check.
Blam. And then the Passion Translation says, "Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think."
Yes.
Like, okay. I mean, this is setting up the kingdom of God or the kingdom of man mm-hmm. in your family.
Yeah.
Which is so empowering to realize, oh, I have a choice. Mm-hmm. But it really does start with the transformation of the parent.
Yeah.
Like, I have to be transformed by the priorities of God mm-hmm. before I'll ever lead my children into the same thing.
Yeah. And I woke up the kids this morning at 7:14 and Lainey shot out of bed. She goes, "It's the time we humble ourselves and get straight out of bed." That's what she's yelling. Like, "Hey, it's sticking. That's what we're going after." And I think that's probably when you're defining your culture, sometimes you have all these great ideas and goals and there's good things in your heart that you want to see come to pass in your children.
Yeah.
But you have to be willing to know that it's not going to be as streamlined and as perfected as possible, which again, we've adapted this 40 days of prayer to what I know we'll be successful in. And so far they're meeting us there and it's been fun, but it's a good thing defining that culture.
Yeah. And I think it's worth saying, like, for anyone listening to this going, "I don't know where to start. This is like, I can see all the places we want to get to, but it just feels overwhelming." I think, you know, we say this with most things, marriage, parenting, all that kind of stuff. Just pick one thing. Mm-hmm. Just start with one thing.
Yeah.
And get that ball moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that's got some momentum, pick the next thing. But
yeah.
I think what it feels like I have to learn to juggle right now, it's frustrating.
Yeah, ask Ashley. She's trying to learn to juggle.
Mm-hmm. I've been teaching Ashley how to juggle.
Yeah.
Because I can juggle now. But, yeah.
Awesome. Well, you know, if this is something that's been touching your heart as far as we define culture and we're kind of talking about what it looks like and really we're putting on display our family culture, I think we feel very called to a movement. We feel called to invest in the families of this world And one of the best ways that you can help us is by becoming a partner and just sewing into what it is that we're trying to accomplish, which is whole healthy families are going to save the world. So if that's something that you're interested in, you'd like more information, you should check out the website, lovingonpurpose.com, and you'll be able to go there to partner and donate to the cause, because it's a just cause. But we're going to jump into questions, so we'll see you soon. All right, well, we're going to jump into our question. We had so much fun, so we only are going to take one question today. But this question that we've got comes to us from Susie.
Hi, my name is Susie, and I have a question about people who talk nonstop about themselves, like making little or no inquiry into the other person's life. I have a few people in my life who are like that, and I have speculations about why they are that way, but I'd appreciate your insight on that. And I'm also just looking for some practical help to attempt to shift that relationship dynamic, because I can just sense the resentment growing about time spent with them. Thank you so much.
Talk about culture.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you go right ahead.
To guess? All right.
Back to you, Ben.
You know, I was thinking this does display some of the culture potentially. And we have said, because Danny said a long time ago, something to the tune of, we teach people how to treat us. Mm. You know, we are training the environment around us what our culture is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Susie, I appreciate the question. It was vulnerable at some level. Like that's real. But I think my encouragement would be, and I'll let my co-hosts here.
Oh, thank you.
Sure. But I think my question would be, or my encouragement is, have they heard this from you yet? Have they found out the impact and experience you're having? Because it's no fun, and it feels like they're being selfish. But maybe they're unaware. Maybe they think that you're just really enjoying listening to them and hearing their voice, that they don't know the impact it's having. So that might be the first place I would encourage you to look at, is have I told the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Have I communicated the impact? And if you have already, I would maybe keep walking out this friendship and see where it goes and look for some other ones.
Sometimes it's a personality differences, mm-hmm. you know, high eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about this before. The influencers say that they love to talk. They love the energy. There's a lot usually going on, and or even a love language. I want to be interesting, so I'm just gonna keep filling the space of things, and I'm gonna keep engaging because I feel like that's how we're connecting. So to take into account those things, but again, feedback is very powerful. Feedback, if you don't communicate feedback, I think resentment happens, which is what she said is bubbling. But most people, if they really are true, beautiful friends in your community, they love you. Mm-hmm. And they want to love you well. And so that little bit of feedback, and it doesn't have to, if resentment is growing, make sure that you don't have Thor's hammer coming down on their head with your feedback. You know, hero sandwich is probably a great approach, especially for a high
Thor's
eye.
Hammer.
Yeah. But if you are trying to not speak the truth in love, then you're probably going to get into some defensiveness. But if your willingness to, hey, I love hearing your stories and how things are happening in your life, but I also was wondering if maybe I could share. Because I think sometimes I don't know how to share, because you have a lot of stories, and I want to be able to happen around you, and I just wanted to communicate that. So again, feedback is a powerful tool, especially if these are friends that love you, and mm-hmm. most likely they do.
I concur with everything you guys said. I think that Susie is going to have to say something.
Yeah.
She's going to have to say, hey, I feel invisible in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you have lots going on, and I feel competitive when I have to fight to say something or contribute something to this conversation. And that, you know, it's going to take some risk, and somebody might, you know, these people might be aggressive. Mm-hmm. You know, they might be more dominant than she is, and they might turn it around and, you know, make her feel like an idiot for ever expressing a need. And she's going to have to power through that.
Yeah.
And she's also quite likely going to be in the market for new friends.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, or, you know, hopefully this isn't her spouse. And if it is, because the stronger the connection, the more direct you can be.
Totally.
And I surround myself with aggressive verbal processors. I love to listen. I just love to listen. I really do. So I hardly ever need to say something, which is so weird because sitting here talking my head off, I don't really need to talk. I love to listen. But if I have somebody that's doing that, which is not uncommon at all, I'll say, okay, all about you. But where I'm more back to you, and my humor will kick in, yeah. My passive-aggressive sarcasm will kick in, and I will start coming over the table at you. And eventually you're like, are you trying to say something to me? I'm like, yeah, yeah. I really would like you to ask a question about somebody here.
Yeah. And you definitely do that when you have a high level of connection.
You have to have a strong connection to be that direct.
Really, that sarcastic, you know, pops in the face, if you will, that comes when you've got a deep enough connection.
Yeah.
If you do that with a weak connection, you probably won't be hanging out very often.
Right. You know, well, that's a great way to test a connection right there.
Maybe there's other better ways we can test connection.
That's how we got disconnected. And that's when the fight started.
Yeah. Right. So that's great. Great question, Susie. I love it. We're going to go ahead and actually jump into our testimony. So we'll be back in just a minute. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and listen to our testimony that came in today. It is from Erin.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. It's Erin Plune from Louisiana. And I just want to say thank you so much for the Kylo Show. It has been just a lifeline. Every week I'm on listening Tuesday morning. That's the first thing I listen to. It's really such a bright spot and just such truth in my life and keeping me on this journey. So thank you all so much for doing this. I wanted to share a quick Kylo testimony with you that happened actually last week. And it really is just such a culmination of Kylo tools and principles in my life. I have a daughter. I have two daughters, but my oldest daughter, this particular testimony is with my oldest daughter. She's 27. From the time she was born to 18, we didn't have the Kylo tools and principles and raised her in fear-based parenting, anxiety, culture. It was just, we used the tools we had, but they were pretty slim and none. And so by the time she was 18, we got a hold of the Kylo principles. We got a hold of the book, Keep Your Love On, and started reading it, and it just blew up in our spirits. We knew this was truth. And so we worked hard. We were changing culture, and we have been on this journey, really changing culture in our family, in our marriage, but particularly with this one daughter, this oldest daughter that we have. And so last week, we've been on the journey, and I really was feeling like I needed to have a conversation with her. I was feeling some distance and wanted to communicate my heart to her. And it really goes back to the principle of intimacy, sharing a really good iMessage. My goal with her being connection and communicating that to her, making sure she knows what my goal is with her. And so she was over, and there was a particular issue I was able to really just unpack with her. And the conversation went so beautifully. And I was able to say, you know, I really want us to have a deeper connection, and I want to be a safe place for you. Would that be something you're interested in? And is that something you're wanting to pursue in our relationship? And it was just such a beautiful breakthrough moment for us, because we've been working really hard. I mean, she has made some really scary decisions as an adult, and we've worked hard on our connection. And to get to a place where she was able to really hear my heart and receive it. And she got up from where she was in the living room and came over and gave me this huge hug and just held on as a mom to just feel that embrace. And just for her to say, "Mom, thank you so much for saying this. I see you as a safe place." That to me is a Kylo testimony. And even though we started late, I feel like I just want to encourage and give the testimony of it's never too late. Mm-hmm. It's never too late. And that there's always hope in relationship. And that's really a huge Kylo testimony. So again, thank you so much for what you do. Thank you for the message. And we're in it with you. Whole healthy families are going to save the world.
She had like a double testimony.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You have the whole production team crying. We're all crying.
That's awesome.
That's beautiful.
I think that the question of is it too late? Yeah. I think we've even got a coaching session Ben and I do this week of a couple that's their question is, I don't think we can do this. Like it's too much damage. There's too much that's happened and there's no hope. So, I mean, there's your hope right there. As Aaron's putting on display, you just keep changing the culture and you keep protecting this new culture that you found and you just stay consistent. And, the absolute harvest that she's got is her daughter's like, "I believe you." Mm-hmm. You know, my whole childhood was something different, but what I've seen you change and protect and prioritize, I believe you. And I think that's the other part is you don't know when that moment's going to come for your kid, but it's really a matter of can you stay consistent to where they feel safe enough to say, okay.
And every family wants this.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't care what you say. I don't care. You go, my dad's like, you know, whatever. I'm not going to get into that part. It's true. Everybody wants to love and trust and be connected to each other. Everybody does.
Yeah.
Now, the level of brokenness between where you are and getting there is your job to deal with.
Yeah.
And to change family culture like the Plunes did. Mm-hmm. Was radical.
Yeah.
Yep.
It freaked out their whole family.
It definitely did.
Because the family has been trained in something else.
Yeah.
And when they came in with all these new tools and all this vulnerability and all this repentance, and all, the kids freaked out. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you trying to do? You're changing the rules. You know, blah. Like, right. We're changing what was so important to us. Control is not the issue anymore. Connection is. Mm-hmm. Oh, we have no connection tools. We're your children. Like, right. And now we're going to lead in something. And you're adults or you're teenagers. You know, you're really disconnected teenagers or you're adults. And now as parents, we are going to pursue connection. And they've done it. They've done. Kudos. Amazing.
And this feels like the paying attention to legacy. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we going to pass on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what we were given. This is what we've operated in. And if we're willing to change it and close that gap you're talking about with the brokenness to this culture, if we're willing to actually close that gap and do something different, there's a day coming, there's a harvest day coming where the line of my family for generations to come begins to change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing I love dreaming about and love hearing about and the testimonies we hear so many times of people like, our family was going this way.
Yep.
And I made a decision, and now we're going this way.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many of those out there, and there's so many more coming. But that's why I get up in the morning. Is that just I love this stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Aaron is actually one of our coaches on family coaching, and Rusty might do some of it with her. But she's on there, and, you know, they have helped so many families since they really became students of the Kylo material and have just seen the fruit in their family and then like, we want to give it away. And so that's what they've been doing.
Yep.
And we've been able to start partnering with them and they're on as some of our coaches. And so it's just really fun to empower people that are doing a fantastic job of really owning this message and then adding their own flavor to it and then just seeing fruit come from their lives. So that's wonderful. So great testimony, Aaron. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. And hopefully that gives you some hope.
you know, if you're battling with how do I actually create a culture that I want to live in? How do I actually do this well? I think that Aaron just gave you quite a setup for some hope that's needed to continue on that path. So it's great. Well, that was a great show.
Boom.
Awesome. We will see you next time on The Kylo Show. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.